Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
You know, what if I told you going into this game, you never know how they're going to go, right? If I had told you, Steve Versnick, that, you know what, the Bucks are going to have a pretty good day on offense. In fact, they're going to score 31 against the Kansas City Chiefs. What percentage would you say the Bucks win that game?
90, 95.
Agreed. I mean, especially since as much as they had struggled. Look, they came into the game having scored only 3 offensive touchdowns in 3 games, okay? And, you know, they haven't had their guys, and so they get Mike Evans back, they get Chris Godwin back, they get Julio Jones in a cameo appearance. He actually went out of the game very briefly, or very quickly after being in it. But Tom Brady throws for a season high, 385 yards and 3 touchdowns, no interceptions, 114.7 ring. You think, wow, that's pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't even close. This game wasn't even close. The Kansas City Chiefs got all the revenge they wanted from Super Bowl 55 and then some. If you remember, it was 602 days ago. I'm counting. More than 19 and a half months that the Chiefs walked into Raymond James Stadium and didn't get in the end zone. Didn't get in the end zone. They had a totally different offensive line. They also had a better receiver in Tyreek Hill. Nonetheless, Patrick Mahomes was Patrick Mahomes, and the Bucs did all they could to hand the game to him early, fumbling the opening kickoff by Rashad White, the young rookie. Not a way to start an important Sunday night football game. Also, Tom Brady getting a sack fumble. So they gave away 2 turnovers that Kansas City cashed in on right away. But this game was never really close, and the reason was sort of twofold. But it wasn't in the mind of Todd Bowles. His defense was horrible in this game. As much as we'll talk about Patrick Mahomes and how brilliant he was and some of the, you know, Houdini stuff he does, but the defense, the one that had given up 27 points the entire season, they did that in the first half on Sunday.
Well, that's where if you told me the Bucks scored 31 points, that they win this game.
Sure.
The defense, I mean, okay, it's Mahomes. They're going to get more than 9 points tonight.
Yeah.
You knew
okay,
that going
they get
in.
24, 25, 28. You hope
17 maybe. You're hoping 21. Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Even if you gave up 28, you scored 31.
Solid win. Fine. Yeah.
Yeah, the defense, well, I mean, it started with the opening kickoff.
It did.
So, you know, it wasn't even 100% positive it was a fumble. The offense was on the field.
I know.
And did you see how dejected they look? It was like, what? We're not?
Well, we got to go back over here now?
I mean, the momentum was gone like that. Any momentum you had, a home game, Sunday night, everything.
Oh, yeah, everybody's ready to scream their ears off, and then you do that, right?
Yeah, I mean, the offense had walked on the field because the fumble was kind of late as he was falling to the ground.
Mm-hmm.
And you thought he was just tackled.
Right.
And like I said, the offense was there, and they kind of slowly walked off the field, their heads down. And 2 plays later, the Chiefs, 46 seconds in, and it's 7-0.
Yep.
And you're like, what the?
Yeah. And then, you know, I mean, the Bucks go back down, and they do what they do. They drive the ball and can't get in the end zone, so they kick their 45-yard field goal. You're like, okay, 7-3, kind of in this thing. Nope. Just like last week. In fact, exactly like last week. It was 14-3 very early on. And, you know, a week ago, it should have been 21-3, but for a fumble in the end zone there. But listen, I'm a big Andy Reid guy. I think, you know, they were more creative. Their goal line plays are phenomenal. I mean, they had a third string tight end, you know, running the ball in. It was just
That was a well designed play.
Really good. I mean, just love to be, you know, around Andy on goal line day in Kansas City because he gets everybody involved. And I mean everybody.
They mentioned on the broadcast that Wednesday's the day they put in those plays.
Yeah.
And Travis Kelce said, best day of the week.
best day of the week. I bet it is. And I remember going back a long time ago when John Gruden was a head coach, you know, him and Andy Reid were just young offensive assistants in Green Bay for Mike Holmgren years and years ago. And they would have contests, more or less, trying to see which crazy play that Holmgren would take from them during the week. And Andy would win most of those contests. He's just really, really creative. And he showed that. But you know what? I was thinking that a couple of things, not the least of which is Patrick Mahomes has had this game wanting to atone for that Super Bowl for a long time. Like I said, almost, you know, 2 years, two plus years, like 19 and a half months. And he came out and was like next level Patrick Mahomes, you know, avoiding the rush, you know, spinning around, stepping over guys, sort of like shot putting touchdowns to people.
Underhanding shovel passes.
Underhanding shovel passes, you know, side-arming balls. Like, and then third down, oh, my gosh. At one point, they were 11 of 13. I mean, 11 of 13 on third down, you can't get your offense back on the field. It's amazing that the Bucs scored 31 points because they never really had the ball, you know. And it was just, man, it was one of those frustrating nights for their defense. I talked to Raheem Nunez-Roches after the game, and he was just, I've never seen, he goes, I've been standing here trying to think what just happened. Like, what was that? Like, he goes, they, you know, beat us, and we were terrible. Like, we didn't do anything right. We were just, you know, give them credit. I mean, you know, credit is where credit is due, he said. But to give up 189 yards on the ground against a defense that for 3 years now hasn't allowed people to run on them. They ran all over them. And the weird thing is, a week ago when the Chiefs lost to Indianapolis, which, by the way, was a bad thing, bad development for the Bucs, I think.
Mm-hmm.
When they lost to Indianapolis, they didn't even, I don't think they had 50 yards rushing, and Patrick Mahomes was their leading rusher. And then they come out the next week against this defense, against this Bucs defense, that had not given up squadouche in a long time, and they end up with 189 rushing yards. It's just crazy how effective they were. The game planning, the execution. And, oh, yeah, Shaq Barrett probably ticked them off by saying that, you know, they were going to have a coming out party, the defensive line was. It did not, and they did not. And so they're 2-2, you know, which isn't the worst place to be in the NFC South because you're tied with Atlanta for the division lead. We can get into those games. But I don't know, man. I don't think anyone could have foreseen the defense letting them down and the special teams. I mean, this was, as I say, a complete team loss. You win as a team, you damn sure lost as one against the Chiefs.
Yeah, I think, and look, we said all along when the schedule came out, if you went 2-2 through the first four,
sure,
you're doing okay. And
mm-hmm.
The honest truth is, you're 2-2, and you're tied for first place in the division. And if you can beat the Falcons at home next week, you're in first place.
By a game, with a lot of games left, a lot of football left.
But saying that, if I told you that you're going to lose both road games or win both road games and then lose the two home games and lose them the way you did, you got down early so quick, both of them.
Yeah.
And you just, you know, I mean, tonight, the identity of this offense, we've talked about it all offseason, they're going to run the ball a lot more. Mm-hmm. They're going to focus on the run. They had 6 carries.
I know.
It's tied for the second lowest in NFL history.
That's incredible to me when you told me that.
Yeah, so 4 times there's been 6 rushes in NFL history. One was with the Patriots with Brady as quarterback, and then tonight Brady as quarterback with the Bucs.
Right. You know,
the one time that there was 5 rushes in NFL history, 2 years ago, Tom Brady and the Bucs against the Saints.
There you go.
And that was the game. I believe that was the game that they went down 28-0 real quick.
Yeah.
On Sunday Night Football. At home.
Yep. Right. And the 3 yards rushing, I believe, is the second worst ever. The Bucs actually had one game where they had 1 yard net rushing. So they made history all over the place. I mean, it was god awful. I mean, you couldn't, they had to abandon it at some point because they fell behind. But even saying that, you know, they haven't really run the ball since Dallas. I mean, you know, Leonard Fournette's had attempts, but not much production. And the sad thing was, you know, this was the game they were going to play Rashad White more, and he did have a rushing touchdown. He's, mm-hmm. He talked to him after the game. He said, well, it's kind of bittersweet now because I fumbled the opening kickoff. But, you know, he did get in the end zone, and that was one of his, I think, three positive yards on the night. Leonard Fournette was you know, getting stuffed every time he touched the ball. And, you know, I understand that you get behind, but you got to be able to run it some, especially when you want to, and you got to be able to do it effectively. And it, part of it's got to be this offensive line. We talked about this offensive line being new. I think they're still trying to figure out what they can do. This is going to sound odd maybe to you. I'm not sure. Well, I'll tell you what. Let me get into – I'm going to tell you what my theory is and why, in a weird way, I think the Bucs may have found something, even in defeat. And I'll tell you what it is in just a minute. First, I want to talk about May Electric Solar, our sponsors. They are a family-owned business. They've been installing solar electric systems for 12 years. Now, there's a lot of these companies out there. May Electric Solar is committed to you for the long term. They guarantee their workmanship with a 30-year labor and services warranty. Plus, with every installation, you get $750 worth of surge protection for all your appliances. That is the May difference. If you visit the Hudson showroom, May Electric displays all its products. They conduct on-site testing. You can see exactly what they'll install. Plus, they don't use subcontractors, so you know exactly who is doing the job. Start saving today and call the solar energy experts, May Electric Solar, at 727-819-2862. You can schedule a free estimate. You can lower your electric bill all year long. Preserve the quality of your life and the quality of your products. May Electric Solar, 727-819-2862. Here's what I was going to say. This happened, I think it was a 2 years ago during the Super Bowl season. If you recall, the Kansas City Chiefs, before they lost to the Bucs in the Super Bowl, came into Raymond James, had a mm-hmm. big lead, and wound up winning the game by a field goal. And in the second half, the Bucs were terrible. They were three and out. I think the Chiefs got up on them like 21-3, something like that. It wound up being a field goal game. And in the second half, the Bucs started moving the ball and moving it pretty effectively. And they said that year that even in defeat, that second half of the Chiefs games, they kind of found something. I think they found something in this game. And I think it's the rhythm in their passing game. For whatever reason, it just hasn't clicked. The downfield throws, maybe the trust in the offensive line. Brady did get hit, and he sacked, and he was fumbled, and so they weren't perfect by any stretch. But they got Donovan Smith back, which I think helped Brady, you know, mentally. I think just knowing that his left tackle was there, I think he was able to hang in there a little bit longer and sort of keep his eyes downfield. Didn't get rid of the ball as quickly sometimes. But they found their vertical passing game, and Mike Evans was spectacular. You know, he was really, really good, and he was available to Brady in the end zone especially. Could have had three touchdowns. He got one pass interference down on the goal line that set it up at the one, and the Bucs went on to score. And I thought Chris Godwin played really – I thought it was promising the way he played. He was tough. One time it looked like he got hurt, and I was thinking, oh, my gosh, did he tear his knee up again? But, no, it was kind of his back and his hip, got kind of a hip pointer when he banged into somebody down there. But he seemed okay. But just watching those guys, whether it was Brate, whether it was when we talk about Cameron and his concussion, whether it was him, whether it was, mm-hmm. you know, Tom's guys, they look like a vertical passing game again instead of this dink and dunk stuff that hasn't produced any points.
Well, and you might be right. Donovan Smith may be a big part of that. I think the other part is he had his full complement of receivers.
Exactly.
You can't
yes.
double team Mike Evans
That's
if Chris
right.
Godwin's on the other side.
That's right.
I mean, you know, you this year you don't have Gronkowski that could take away that.
Right.
Even if Godwin was out, you had mm-hmm. Gronk and Evans that
yep.
you had to cover. If Godwin's hurt and Julio Jones isn't playing much and Russell Gage, we know, is hurt, still playing.
Right.
You can take your defense and take Mike Evans out of the game. With Godwin there, you can't do that now. You've got to respect the other side.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's a big part of it, too, is he finally had his full complement of receivers. Now, we know Julio Jones went out, barely played tonight.
Right. Russell Gage didn't do much.
But Godwin and Evans looked really good because they're together. There was a second threat on the field. There hasn't been all year, basically. I mean, Godwin played the first game but went out quick.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there hasn't been that second threat. And in Dallas game, they did have it. Since
yeah,
they
had
haven't.
All three for a while until the two of them got hurt. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I think Donovan Smith being back, yes. But I also think it's the complement of receivers that, you know, it gives Brady options. And you know, if you give him options, he'll find it. He'll find the open guy.
Oh, for sure. And I think, too, that the reason I mentioned Smith is only because I felt like Tom wasn't bailing as fast. You know, like it just seemed in the first few weeks he was going to get rid of that ball and get rid of it quick. And he still does, right? No one wants to take a sack and get hit and all that. But he hung in there a little bit more, and he kept his eyes downfield, and he delivered some really good throws. And you know, Mike Evans wins. Like you said, you get man coverage, and he wins. The most automatic play in football, and I wrote about this a few weeks ago, is the fade route to Mike Evans. If he's got man coverage, it's over, right? He throws that thing up there, and it's done. Any kind of good ball at all, he's gonna win the jump ball. So I just feel like they had a little bit of rhythm, right? They looked a little unstoppable for a while. Again, it's got to be sustainable, and you know, you can't not run the football. I mean, you're going to have to, when you run it, you're going to have to be successful. I mean, their problem is too many times they run it on first down and they're second and 12, you know, second and 9. I mean, it's like just no production early in the run game on early downs at all. And that's
but when you're
change.
Behind,
right now you got to abandon it.
Yeah, I mean, which they did in 6 carries tonight.
Yeah, I mean, it's unheard of in an NFL game.
You know, I mean, that's where you can't fumble the opening kickoff.
Nope.
But your defense has to figure out how to stop a team on the first possession because they keep giving up early touchdowns.
Well, and that's what Bulls.
Now they've made the adjustments normally. Tonight they weren't able to figure it out.
Yeah.
But when you get behind early all the time, it puts pressure on your offense.
It really does. And then, you know, Brady said, well, and then we were going 3-and-out and putting the defense right back out there against a really good offensive team. I mean, this is the complementary football that he talked about, that Bowles has talked about, that they weren't able to do. They just weren't able to execute that because it's been one side or the other. And it is kind of the ultimate team sport. But those guys on defense couldn't get off the field. And then, you know, too many 3-and-outs on offense, the turnovers, Brady sack fumble, you know, all of that. But, you know, Bulls was right. He says, look, you know, our job is to have our backs against the wall. That's what defense is. You know, it doesn't matter what situation you're put in. You're supposed to come up with a big play and stop them. And if that's holding them to a field goal when they get an opening kickoff fumbled away, then you hold them to a damn field goal. And they didn't do that. They really had no answers for Mahomes at all. And, you know, Andy Reid coached a great game. Their defense played well enough. They gave up 31, so you can't really say the Chiefs' defense was dominant. But it was a tough loss, man. It's you know, that's two in a row now at home. You remember now you got one game in Germany, so you're not going to have very many left. And that means you're going to have to go on the road and get some wins against some teams, maybe some that you're not favored, although I don't know how many of those will be left. But this is not a very promising start for them, to say the least. And yet, there is this realization that, you know, we're right in it. It's like our goal is to win the division, hopefully position ourselves good for the playoffs. It's such a long season. Like, I was sitting there after the game, and I said something to Joey Knight, and I said, man, we're not even a quarter of the way through. Because there's 17 games, not 16. And when you look at it that way, you're just like, man, that is incredible. You know?
Yeah, everything they want to accomplish is in front of them.
Oh, for sure.
I mean, there's only one team that's 4-0 in football, and that's the Eagles.
That's the Eagles.
Yeah. I mean, so you're within a game of everybody.
Of the
if
best
anybody
teams.
Ahead of you. Yeah.
That's right. Yeah.
You know, and you know, you're 1-0 in your division.
Mm-hmm.
And if you beat the Falcons this week at home,
right?
Who what? Marcus Mariota completed 7 passes today.
I
they
know
won.
What was
they
with
won
and but, they won. Yeah. They ran the you know what out of the ball.
Yeah, but if you can beat the Falcons next week, you're 2-0 against your division, and you're a game up on the Falcons and maybe more on the Saints and the Panthers.
And listen, I have no doubt that if the Bucs, barring catastrophic injuries like the ones they've suffered the last, you know, 2 weeks before this, I mean, maybe New Orleans gets hot, maybe Jameis comes back. I don't know. I don't know whether to count them out, but I'm not impressed with the teams in the NFC South. I'm not. I think the Bucs are going to win this division, you know, if they have to win it with 10 wins or 9, they might do it. But I just don't think the division is that good, you know. I mean, Mariota is your quarterback in Atlanta. Baker Mayfield trying to get it done in Carolina. You know, it's just I'm just okay with those guys. I think the Bucs have a good look at it, but they're going to have to string together some wins. The schedule is still favorable. Like you said, they play Atlanta at home. You got to win a home game now and again. And then I believe they go to Pittsburgh and then Carolina. So a couple of road games after this third straight home game. The other the elephant in the room, or in this case, I should say the rabbit in the room. This is unbelievable. So, you know, it'd be easy to blame the performance or lackluster or whatever, lack of, you know, mental errors on the fact that this entire organization, football organization, was displaced last week. And in no way are the Bucs or anyone crying poor or gosh, you know, how about us? Wasn't this awful? We all recognize that the real suffering is happening in Southwest Florida and Fort Myers and Sanibel and you know, all those Naples down there and all those places. So this is not about that. However, it's really interesting. You know, the number of details that they had to go through. Tim Jarocki, who's the team's you know, director of operations, when they started seeing or, you know, catching glimpses of a tropical depression around South America, they started following the storm. And the job they did to move 300 people, because it wasn't just a team, it was also wives, girlfriends, parents, anybody that
dogs,
wanted to come.
Cats.
Yeah, well, that was the other thing. 28 dogs. 28 dogs, a few cats, and a rabbit. The hell has a rabbit? We're like, what? Who has a rabbit? He goes, I don't know that I would have guessed him first. He might have been in my top five, though, just because of how he, and I don't know him that well. Yeah, Luke Gedecky has a rabbit, has had one for 3 years, and he brought his rabbit. And I think the rabbit's name is Clevis, if you're into that. Who the hell keeps a rabbit these days?
Not me, but although my boys would probably like one.
Yeah. I mean, I remember my dad had pulled one off the nature trail when I was a little kid, but then, you know, one rabbit, and you suddenly have 12. But I can't imagine, like, hey, I got this pet, and I'm really worried it might get caught in a hurricane. It's a rabbit. I'm going to bring it down. It's crazy. But they had, listen, it'd be something you could maybe excuse them, or, well, you know, the week was disruptive. And they went through hell trying to get it pulled off. I mean, the story, you should read it on Tampa Bay Times and TampaBay.com about the logistics and how difficult all this really was. But to a man,
you wonder what the emotional toll was.
I mean, I think there was some. And I was going to tell you that Christian Worf said this. He goes, listen, here's this really cool, but I'm sure it was stressful too, that all these guys, or so many of these guys, they had their wives, they had their kids, right? So in some cases, their grandparents. Like, this was an evacuation as much as it was anything, right? Mm-hmm. You took a bunch of people that thought they might be in harm's way, and yes, they had to prepare, but, you know, charted those flights, bussed them, all that stuff, to the Marriott in Biscayne Bay, and they were looking at other places like West Virginia and around the country. But, man, I mean, that's hard duty. And Jarocki pulled it off. They were down there, and as soon as they got down there on Tuesday, they were getting bands from the hurricane. You know, they're getting rain bands. And he said they had set up meeting rooms, and they took over all the ballrooms on the third floor. And there was this one meeting room, I think it was the DB's. He goes, after so much rain had dumped, we had a waterfall from the ceiling. And he goes, we're scared to death because right next door with this little soft partition was the meal room, was the, you know, like the meal room. Lots of babies. He goes, you know, they're having construction on that hotel. There was jackhammering going on. These young moms have kids and, you know, just a lot of bonding stuff you would think. But, man, and nobody was going to blame their performance at all, nor should they, on that. What an undertaking, though. You know, you have to say, like, even though they prepared 3 days for practice like they normally would, nothing was normal about this week.
But
Absolutely, you know
players, and it doesn't matter the sport, they're a creature of habit.
Creatures of habit, yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Okay, so on Monday I go, I get film, I go get treatment. Tuesday's my day off. Oh, this time they had to travel to Miami on the day off. Wednesday, then we start, except now I'm not at home. I'm not,
right.
Nothing's normal about this. My family's in a hotel room with me.
With me, right.
You know, and doing this. And look, the players had mentioned, you know, they were appreciative of having more family time this week than normal.
Yeah.
Because of it and everything else. But nothing was normal about it. And it doesn't, I mean, as much as we like to think these players, it doesn't matter the sport, that, you know, they're just, they go out there and can perform top notch every time. They have things going on in their lives.
Yeah.
From family to kids to, and then, okay, is my house okay? I mean, you know, we all kind of went through that for the last week. You know,
right.
How is the storm going to impact? Do we evacuate? Do we not?
What and
do we
some
do?
Of them weren't. Yeah. And even when they got back, the Bucks had to secure hotels here as well as down there.
Mm-hmm.
Because some of them got back and they weren't able to go back home.
Yeah. Or they didn't have power or.
Or they didn't. Power was a big reason. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, it's. And you know, did that impact tonight? I'm sure it did somewhat. I don't know how much. I mean, you know, is that why Rashad White fumbled the opening kickoff? No. Is that why certain plays happened? Not necessarily, but, you know, all of a sudden they got down so quick. You know, I mean, and with everything that happened, it's, I don't want to say it's excusable, but, you know, you could understand that if they weren't at the top of their game tonight. You know, and I... Look, it's it's one of 17 games, and you're expected to go out there and do your best. And they did, but how much impact everything from the week had on them, hard to tell. And you know, it's a different experience and you know, something that, you know, we'll kind of see as they move forward.
Well, I would just say this. You know, the year that they won the Super Bowl, like I said, it was a closer game, but they did lose to the Chiefs at home.
Mm-hmm.
And when they got them again... I think, you know, Tyreek Hill went off for about 200 in the first quarter of that game.
They gave the peace sign.
And when they did got him again, of course, the Bucks defense was humming. That defensive line knew it was going to dominate and did. And they chased Patrick Mahomes 497 yards around the field trying to throw the ball after he took snaps. So it was a totally different game, a totally different team. But still a lot of the same players like Kelce. You'd look and you say to yourself over and over again, how can this guy get this open, right? Like, surely on third down, you're looking for the guy that Mahomes throws to on third down every time. But he was able to complete him, man, and hats off to him. I mean, I think he had like 9 catches on 10 targets or something like that. Or something crazy. Very efficient dude. So, we'll see. You know, it's not the start they would have scripted, but like you, to your point, 2-2 is still very much in it. And if I'm right, I think that keeping the same guys week in to week out, they have to string together weeks with Evans, with Godwin, with whoever can join them, whether it's Russell Gage or Julio Jones, they're going to get better, you know, and they'll figure out the running game. I really think they'll figure it out. Just had to abandon ship because they, you know, you get behind that quickly, it can get pretty ugly early. So, that's just the way the season's going to go. I mean, heck, you know, it was pretty dark and gloomy at 7-5 the year of the Super Bowl, and nobody thought they were going to make the playoffs, and they didn't lose again the rest of the year. So Tom Brady's very capable of going on these runs, But he needs help. He needs help from everybody, you know. You got to play better. And, you know, we'll see what they do against Atlanta next week.
Mm-hmm. We'll see if they have Cameron Brate.
Oh, God, yeah. Let's hit on that real quick because, you know, the big controversy, and I don't think you and I have hit on it necessarily, was Tua Tagovailoa, you know, playing 4 days after it appeared that he had had a concussion. He was unsteady on his feet. Later they came on to say, no, it wasn't a concussion a week ago. It was just his back locked up on him and he couldn't stand, et cetera. And so they kind of, you know, sat him down and, you know, worked on him a little bit. I don't know what they do. But they got him back out there to finish the game. And 4 days later, he's playing on Thursday Night Football and takes a hit. And that was scary. Man, it was scary. You know, with his hands posing the way they did. And
well, since then, they fired the independent neurologist.
Yeah.
That was a part of it. And the NFL and the NFLPA have agreed that they're going to adjust the protocols.
That's right. And you know, here's the thing. It's going to be a story because we asked some questions about it, and I think more questions will be asked on the heels of this. But Cameron Brate basically ran into Chris Godwin and knocked himself down to the ground. And it was clear that when he got up, his head was bothering him. And then he went over to the sideline. And then in short order, he was back in the game and then out again. And, you know, they announced later, much later, I'm afraid, you know, that he had a concussion and he wasn't going to return. But he got the concussion before he went back out there. So even now, even after the whole weekend of, you know, sort of what we just went through with Tua, you know, here's a team that essentially knows the guy is concussed or not steady or what have you, and they put him back on the turf. I don't understand it.
Yeah, it's hard. I mean, and that one, I mean, look, the 201.
Oh,
you know,
obvious.
You saw him trying to walk off the field and stumbling, and now obvious. They say it's a back injury. Who knows?
No,
maybe he's got a back and a concussion.
Sure, sure.
You know, I mean, the Cameron Brate, you kind of ran in your own teammate. That one didn't. I mean, it wasn't as obvious at first. I mean, he was down on the ground. You know, so the hard part is you don't know. You don't want to take a guy out of the game if he's not concussed.
Right.
But if there's a chance, they obviously don't have a protocol in place to do it quick enough. The snaps are happening too quick. And they're letting this – I don't – they've got to figure it out. I mean, Chris Collinsworth talked about it some on the broadcast tonight. They got to figure it out. And it's got to be sellable to the public, as he said. And I kind of agree with him. I mean, not that that's the reason you do things, but you can't sit there and tell me Tua wasn't concussed in that Sunday night game. He showed every symptom of it. And yet, four days later, he's back out there and gets concussed again. Or now they're saying concussed.
Well, that's why they're going to change. They're going to change the language.
They're going to have to, and they're going to have to change how they do it and how quickly they can get a player out of there.
Yeah,
but I mean, you know, here's the thing, and this is where the NFL doesn't want to get to this point: is every time somebody's head is touched, do you have to take them out of the game to check?
Yeah,
and so. There is a fine line there.
They want people to believe that it's a great sport and that it's a safe sport. But right now they got an image problem. And if mom and dad, in my household, mom, decided that, you know, my son, and we don't have one, but my son is not playing football, you know, because I'm watching TV and I'm seeing these guys getting splattered and falling down out here, and I know it's bad for you, and I know about CTE. You know, like, that's going to kill football. I mean, that's how you lose the game, you know. There was a time when boxing was, you know, the coolest thing ever. It's a discipline, a sport. You know, you had great heavyweight champions, middleweight champions.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think too many guys got their brains beat in. And I think it hurt boxing because some of these guys stayed too long. You could tell they weren't doing well. It's a brutal sport, pounding your fist into another man. You got to hope it doesn't go that way, you know? because the optics are everything for the NFL. And they have to change this rule to err on the side of caution every single time.
Well, and the whole part of the protocol was supposed to be these independent neurologists that...
I know, I know.
But it's obvious this system is not working.
No, it failed. It failed, and it may have failed Cam Brate a little bit on Sunday night. Could have. We'll have the chance to talk to him later this week, but, you know, I know he went back in the game, and then we were told that he had a concussion. He was done for the day, which is really weird.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
So we got a lot to talk about this week. We'll get into it more later. Of course, the Rays have clinched the playoff spot, which is remarkable when you consider all the injuries they've had and still continue to have. We'll see who they wind up playing. It looks like that, I guess, it could be...
It'll be Cleveland or Guardians. Toronto.
Yeah.
They cannot host this round.
Can't host.
It's a best of three series, all three games in the same city.
Mm-hmm.
So they'll either take on Toronto or... I don't think they can take on Seattle. I don't think Seattle can pass Toronto. I could be wrong on that. Although Toronto would, they can't catch Toronto. So yeah, they're going to either be at Toronto or at Cleveland.
Right.
Because if Seattle were to pass Toronto, then Toronto would still be ahead of the Rays. So they would go to Seattle. So yeah.
Right. So good for them. College football, I mean, USF, Wolf.
And you wonder emotionally how everything the week.
I mean, they were down there, too. They played at FAU, all of that.
They got down big early. They kept battling. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, they scored some.
Yeah.
You know, you kind of want – I mean, they're playing a home game in Miami or Boca Raton.
Right.
You know, everything that went – they're transplant – you know, everybody's moved there.
Same deal.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So, you know, you wonder how much impact that had. I mean, you would have liked to have seen a better start from them, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
But you just kind of wonder how that impacted them.
It may have greatly, but, you know, they've got to start putting up some wins here.
Yes.
Or Jeff Scott may go the way of my Wisconsin coach who got fired. I'm actually going to have a party about that later on. I didn't go to Wisconsin, but we have to watch every game because my wife did. That is the worst offense I've ever seen. And now I guess Jim Leonard, the old Baltimore Ravens, is going to take over. He's the defensive coordinator. He'll be good. Don't know what he's going to do with the offense, but... You know, that remains to be seen. So, lots to talk about this week.
Florida State lost to Wake Forest. That was a good game, though.
It was a good game.
Mm-hmm.
And listen, no shame. Wake Forest is got a guy that's going to play on Sunday, a quarterback.
Yes. No, he's Wake Forest, really, and their receivers are good, too.
Receivers are good. They really had Clemson. They lost in overtime. Probably should have won that game.
Mm-hmm. But, I mean, Florida State, what? They took a 7-0 lead, got down, what, 21-7?
Yeah.
But they kept battling back. That was a really good game. I mean, Florida State, no reason to hang their head on that game.
No, it was fun. And, you know, they were 4-0, and now they're 4-1. But they played really well, I thought, at times, and didn't win the game. But Wake Forest, like I said, man, they got a quality quarterback, and they're kind of feeling themselves a little bit this year. They could be undefeated. So, you know, that was fun to see. So we'll talk about all the college football. The baseball playoffs, which are just around the corner with the Rays.
Starts Friday. And
it starts this Friday. How crazy is that, man? Mm-hmm. So it could be over by what, Sunday, I guess?
Saturday,
okay.
I mean, you know, you play Friday, Saturday, Sunday. It's best of
three.
Yeah,
that's
so
true. You lose two in a row, you're done by Sunday, yeah.
Or Saturday, you're done. I mean, Sunday, the series would be done.
Done before the weekend, right. Crazy. But
I guess it's better than the wild card when you had one game. Now at least you have to lose twice to be eliminated.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just tough to do it on the road. The Rays are going to be on the road like for the next 6 months, I think.
Yeah, because if they win this series, then the next two games to start the ALDS would be on the road as well.
Right. And they finish the regular season with a road trip.
9-game road trip to end the season, regular season. So.
Yeah. It's a lot.
It is.
It's a hell of a lot. But we'll catch up to them as they get into the postseason. Just remember to check out our folks at May Electric Solar. They've been in this business for 12 years. You can go to their Hudson showroom, look at all their displays and products, and start saving today. They're the solar energy experts. May Electric Solar, 727-819-2862. Get a free estimate. Lower your electric bill. May Electric, 727-819-2862. It's way too early in the morning to go much longer, but we will be back, I guess, tomorrow or today, depending on your perspective. Thanks for listening, as always. For Steve Versnick, I'm Rick Stroud of the Tampa Bay Times. Have a great day, everybody.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.